is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Rita Bittner. Today we are speaking with Jack Hussain and Christine Cunningham of Our Lady's Center in Ellicott City. Our Lady's Center is an oratory shrine and a family apostolate founded in 1974 to bring people closer to Jesus through the love of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Thousands of people visit Our Lady's Center every year to honor the Blessed Mother and worship in this sacred space, which was renovated last year. Jack has been involved in the center for 35 years and has served as the board president for 14 years. Christine is the center's manager, a role she has served in for 10 years. Jack and Christine are both parishioners at St. Louis in Clarksville. We'll begin with speaking with Jack Hussain. Jack, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thank you very much for coming. We're very excited to have you here and to expose your audience to Our Lady's Center.
Jack, could you start by telling us a little about the history of Our Lady's Center, how it began, and how the center has evolved over the years?
Well, as I understand it, a man named Frank Lancelotta eventually, after a very interesting prologue to his beginning here, began Our Lady's Center as an effort to bring more attention and more awareness to Our Lady herself. And perhaps to extend something that began in their own family 500 years before this and continued up until about 19, well, continues until now, but continued as a motivating background that I think his mother enjoined upon him as one of her sons to, find ways to encourage devotion to the Blessed Mother. And so in 1974, Our Lady's Center began and was incorporated as a nonprofit. And so we have existed, and been ongoing since then. We just last year celebrated our 50-year anniversary.
Congratulations. What a happy time that must have been.
It was, yep.
Why, do you know why they chose this geographic location?
It all seems to be the hand of God, because the way that we arrived at this location presently was by Frank winning an auction for a space that was the county's salt dome and salt location. And it's in a floodplain, so it really had limited building opportunity or other things. So it must have not drawn much attention or much interest as an auction item. So he got it fairly inexpensive, I think, and it was the third location. The other two were up on Route 40 behind us that he grew into. And early on, he solicited the help of another Italian man named Phil Adinoffi, who was an architect and an engineer. And Phil designed the first two spaces up there and redesigned the space here is in a one-story building. And then through our history, in 2001, we burned to the ground. And rather than that being a calamity that was insurmountable, through the next 6 years, it took us to build a two-story building into the present space that we have. And that is, how we exist till now. We just did a large renovation for the 50th anniversary and are very proud of the space we have now. It's about 5,000 square feet.
Wow.
2,500 on each level. And in the first level, the worship space has pews and an altar and some other items that were taken out of the renovation of the Basilica in Baltimore.
Amazing.
And on the first floor, we have a beautiful and large statuary, a gift, and bookstore. And I think we have one of the best anywhere, and certainly in the Baltimore Diocese. So that's a bit about us.
Wonderful. You talked a little about the renovations. What was that process like for the community here? And, you know, as far as decisions to be made, when you mentioned pieces coming from the Basilica, how did that happen?
As Our Lady would sort of interject, the pastor of the Basilica in downtown, was a good friend of the son of our founder. And our son's, the founder's son, lived in a condo with his wife in Ocean City. And so his vacation frequently was to go down and stay with them for a week or 2 weeks each summer. And in that particular year, in 2000, I think it was, he told the son about the impending renovation that was going to happen in the Basilica. And of course, he didn't know the future, but he sort of tucked that away. And 1 year later, we burned to the ground, and we needed help. And the Basilica was changing quite a bit with their renovation. And so we made a phone call, and, you know, the rest was history.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. You can really see someone, some higher power helping there. Right?
Absolutely.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. Wonderful. How did you get involved here initially, and what keeps you engaged?
Well, thank you. That's a very interesting question. Sometimes I wonder about that myself. I know Our Lady's pushing me all the time, but let's see. In my own family, in my own situation, we had a tragedy happen with an auto accident that resulted in my second brother. I have two others. The middle brother, who's 2 years younger, was injured in an auto accident with my family, and he became quadriplegic. So that always, later, as life went on, that was a motivator to keep him in prayer and to pray for things. So that was one of the things, I think, that helped motivate me to go to Medjugorje with my family in my 40s when I was younger. And that was a very moving experience for me there. And I would say that I was always a practicing Catholic, but just a practicing Catholic. I wasn't engaged, to speak of. And through that, I made a decision to begin going to daily Mass. And that was January 1, 1990. We went there in 88, first time. And as I had then a business up and running, it was very profitable and very, was doing well. And it gave me some time to spend more time here, which I enjoyed doing. And that's how I first got engaged. And then shortly after that, in this first year, actually, I was asked and accepted to be on the board. And so I've been involved since then on the board in various capacities. And so we had 10 years later, or let's see, yeah, about 10 years later is when the building burned down. And we had to deal with the replacement cost. First, a decision. Do we make this, just let it go, sell the property? But we decided that it was important to keep it and put the building back. And it took 6 years for us to do that because we were, at the time, insured for about $175,000. And as it turns out, the replacement cost was $570,000. So that was a big nut to try to come up with. And we did eventually, in part by Phil Ananoffi, the fellow I mentioned, Robert Lancelotta, who was the son that was Frank Sr., the founder, had two sons and a daughter. All were active here, but the one son was living in Western Maryland and was not as engaged. The other son, before he lived in Ocean City, he lived right down the road, about a mile.
Oh, okay.
And so he was the local person, and he was a builder, and so both he and the Phil Ananoffi had good handle on what it took to put us back.
I guess so.
We just needed the money to get that.
Right.
So instead of that, we had donations given by people that they called favors in from, and or however it might have happened. We did a variety of fundraisers and
sure.
All those things.
Wow.
So,
but what a leap of faith.
It was. Yeah, really. I mean, the leap really began with the founder. Because he did, we're organized, this building and this operation is really controlled by the board of directors, but we don't have an owner. They are the owner. The corporation is the owner.
Oh, wow.
And we don't have the, at this point, I would say confines of a single owner. And so that has both plus and minus, I guess. But in this case, it encourages participation, and everyone who participates here, from the patrons that come, and our staff and so forth, there's a lot of volunteering, and the people know that it's very needed, very necessary, and so each time we've had tragedy happen, and there's been several along the way, with our building, or with people too. It's been a period of growth or something that's improved us and not destroyed us, you know. So
wonderful.
That tells us Our Lady's really involved, you know.
She's here, yes. Our guests today are Jack Cassane and Christine Cunningham at Our Lady Center in Ellicott City. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation by hearing from Christine about the work of Our Lady Center. I'm Rita Bittner. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Been a school sister of Notre Dame for 72 years.
Most senior Catholic sisters, brothers, and religious order priests serve for years with little pay.
I always taught the primary grades, and I loved it.
Today, hundreds of religious communities lack retirement funds. Your gift to the Retirement Fund for Religious helps provide medications and care. Please give to those who have given a lifetime.
Thank you, and God bless you 100-fold.
Donate at your local parish.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Crowds streamed into the Carmelite Monastery of Baltimore in Towson, November 25th and 26th, as the relics of St. Therese of Lisieux made a rare two-day visit to the Archdiocese of Baltimore. More than 1,000 people of all ages came to pray before the ornate 300-pound reliquary containing some of the saint's bones. Many were moved to tears as they touched the plexiglass that surrounded the relics. The relics are traveling the United States for the 100th anniversary of St. Therese's canonization and the Church's Jubilee year. Carmelite Sister Judy Long, prioress of the Carmelite Monastery of Baltimore, said visitors were reminded of God's unconditional love. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Pope Leo XIV traveled to İznik in Turkey, the historic site of ancient Nicaea, to mark the 1,700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea. The Pope joined Orthodox Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew, along with other Orthodox, Anglican, and Protestant leaders, for an ecumenical prayer service and a joint recitation of the Nicene Creed. The celebration highlighted the enduring unity sought by the early Council, even as differences remain. In keeping with Orthodox practice, the Creed was recited without a phrase related to the Holy Spirit that was added centuries later in the West. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, I'm George Matisek.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Rita Bittner, and we're talking now with Christine Cunningham at Our Lady Center, a Marian shrine located in Ellicott City. Thanks for being here, Christine.
Thanks for being here.
Christine, can you tell us a little about you, how you came to Our Lady Center, and what you do here?
So it's a bit of a long story, but I have four children, and I homeschooled them, and they grew up on me, and I had a bit of a crisis because I didn't want to go back to what I used to do. I was in graphic design and advertising, and after doing something so important as raising children and the faith, you know,
yes.
I wanted to do something for the Lord. I wanted to work for Him, and I asked for him to lead me and guide me to somewhere where he would want me to be, where I could serve him. And so through the course of a number of events, it happened very quickly, actually, where this position became available right at the same time I was asking the Lord to put me somewhere. And Jack interviewed me, and I really did not have any confidence in myself that I had the abilities for what he needed a manager to do here. I'd never worked in retail. But he said I had what I needed and I could learn the rest. And he really did have wonderful confidence in me. And I was, at that point in my life, ready to trust the Lord and take a leap of faith.
How would you say your work here contributes to your own faith journey? Hearing you describe that makes me feel like coming here was a big leap. And then being here, being part of this community.
It is such a blessing for me. I can't begin to describe how wonderful it is to be a part of this place. And to know that I'm not really the manager, that the manager is the Blessed Mother, and all I have to do is show up and work hard, and everything seems to work out. I seem to know what to order. I seem to have, you know, whatever somebody needs at the time, or I know how to find it. And then, you know, I didn't know all this before. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's really miraculous in a way, and I've seen some amazing things here as well. Just incredible. I mean, people come from all around. I would say from an hour around.
Oh, wow.
In all directions. This is a special place, unlike any other. I like to describe it as a Catholic activity center, you know, where the broader Catholic community can come together, you know. So we each have our own parishes, and we're not in any way competing, you know, with parishes. We're supplementing in any way we can, supporting families in their, you know, quest to raise their children in the faith, and supporting, you know, people who want to make Mass maybe in the middle of the day, but it's hard to, or try to find confession. You know, we offer all those things here.
Great.
And of course, the religious articles, which are very hard to find these days in person. I mean, you can order online, but you wonder, where is it coming from? Who made it? You know, what kind of quality? And I work very hard to make sure that we stock good quality items from Catholic resources, mainly made in the USA or Italy. You know, we have a beautiful line of statues that we get from Colombia, South America, that have been made and painted by women who've lost their husbands in the conflicts down there. And so it's 13 families we support, and they do beautiful work, beautiful handmade, hand-painted statues that are affordable.
So wonderful.
Yeah.
And so that's a connection to your faith, even, and figuring out what to bring in.
Exactly. And bringing it all back around. It's just the beauty of being here, experiencing the grace that seems to flow here, you know, and being a part of it in any small way, you know, that I can be, and seeing other people come here and experience it as well. As soon as they drive down the lane, they say that they have a peace that they never felt anywhere else. And there's something different about this place. You wouldn't think we're right off Route 40.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's peaceful.
Yes, yes. Were you familiar with the center before the job popped up?
My mom used to bring me years ago. We used to get gifts here sometimes. And she had some friends who were very active here on the board. You know, so I guess, our parish, St. Louis, I think has offered quite a few volunteers, you know, especially in the early years, I think, in the formation of this place. So
tell me a little bit about the community here, because I imagine there are people who are here for daily Mass. There are people who are actively making things happen, like Jack and like you. But there are probably people who maybe you might see once a year. So tell me a little bit about what that community and how that enriches this space, and how you see it enriching the spiritual life of the center.
The people in all levels of faith arrive here. You know, some deeply committed, they're here every Friday at Adoration, which we have between the noon and 7:30 Masses. You know, they come for the first Friday Masses and devotions. There's some people who just wander in because they saw the sign and they were curious. Everyone who comes is welcomed with open arms, you know, seen as a child of the Blessed Mother who was brought here by her for one reason or another. And if we can help in any way to connect them with a book, a resource, anything at all, you know, that's our mission.
So wonderful. Yeah. For people who are looking for something special to do during Advent, tell us a little bit about what they might find at Our Lady's Center, sacramentally and in other ways, if they came to visit.
Well, we have, of course, we have daily Mass, Monday through Friday at noon, and there's always confessions after, as long as the priest can stay. We don't have our own priests, but, you know, again, the Blessed Mother brings her sons. You know, they come. We never have to cancel Masses, really. And then what else? We have lots
of devotions.
Yeah, lots of devotions that go on. We have the Flame of Love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary that meets here every Thursday afternoon. We have the Seven Sorrows Rosary twice a week here. We have, you know, a lot of different devotions that go on. Rosary every day before Mass at 11:30. So. The Legion of Mary meets here on Friday evenings as well.
Oh, how wonderful. That's great. And many Advent and Christmas-related products, I'm sure, in the shop as well.
So many, yes. And, you know, we have seasonal things, but mainly we know that people are also going to their own parishes for the activities and events. And so we don't plan too much more over that, but we do have special, you know, speakers that come and things like that. But for the most part, yes, it's the wonderful articles and in religious articles in the store that they come for. We have tons of Advent candles and everything else you need for Advent and Christmas.
Nice. And you have some children's programming as well. Did you mention that?
Yeah, we have a children's story time twice a month on the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month at 10:30. And we have my coworker, Miss Ginny Snezik, has led that for probably 8 or 9 years now. And so we've seen some of those kids grow up on us already.
Oh, my goodness.
But yes, it's wonderful because these young Catholic parents find friends, and the children find friends. And, you know, and it's always one of those books that we offer for sale in the store, always faith-filled and, you know, positive and joyful. So we have Saint Nick. Yeah, I was just Saint Nick.
Does he come for his feast day or around then? Or?
It's around his feast day. Normally, it's on the 6th, but this time this year, since it's on the weekend, it's going to be on the 10th. Yes, the 10th. And so that's a wonderful. That's on a Wednesday. Is it at 10:30, I think is when it is. Yeah, so we have Saint Nick come, the children leave their shoes down below, and then they go upstairs to the chapel and hear all about Saint Nicholas and his love of giving and his charity. And then they come back down and they find special little, you know, coins in their
little
shoes. And then they can come in and it's, you know, there's a craft and they can get their pictures with Saint Nick and everything. So that's
beautiful.
Just one thing that we do for them. Yeah.
I feel like the homeschooling experience still plays out here somewhere in the education of the young people. I love that.
It is funny how the Lord uses everything. You know, like all the books that I read because I'm such a reader. Well, you know, so I can tell people, oh, yeah, I read that book. I could tell you about it.
That is wonderful. That's so great. Does your family ever come and visit? Do your children come to the center as well?
Yeah, they
do. That must be special to get to share it with them.
I'm from a large Catholic family, you know, similar to the one that started Our Lady Center, similar to the Lanceladas. So that also is kind of a connection to that understanding that it's mi familia. We're, you know, we're all family.
Yeah. Has your relationship with the Blessed Mother changed during your time working here?
It has, because when I first started, I did not feel worthy to be in this position. You know,
of importance, you know, with Our Lady Center.
Right.
It just, I really didn't have the confidence that I was actually supposed to be here. And she has made me feel so welcomed and so loved, you know, and so I do feel like a little St. Mary Magdalene, you know, the way Mary Magdalene was with her. She was right there at her elbow all the time.
So beautiful. Well, I hope it'll be a wonderful Advent season here. I'm sure it will be, and also a beautiful Christmas. But thank you both, Jack and Christine, for being with us today to reflect on the role of Blessed Mother and to consider this wonderful work happening here at Our Lady's Center in Ellicott City. You can find out more about Our Lady's Center online at ourladiescenter.net. For Catholic Review Radio, I'm Rita Bittner. Thanks for listening.
I have been a school sister of Notre Dame for 72 years.
Most senior Catholic sisters, brothers, and religious order priests serve for years with little pay.
I always taught the primary grades, and I loved it.
Today, hundreds of religious communities lack retirement funds. Your gift to the Retirement Fund for Religious helps provide medications and care. Please give to those who have given a lifetime.
Thank you, and God bless you 100-fold.
Donate at your local parish.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbell.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.